Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern that you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code BROS. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplements that you can only get high on. We're done with that, all right? Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for, whether that's the Mind Magic gummies for deep work and creativity, or the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get to that perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code BROS. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use the promo code BROS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yes, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. D'Anthony, we got one of my faves on today.
I don't want to hear about this Ohio State bullshit.
You knew exactly what you were getting into when Nick Mangold came on the show. One Ohio State alum to another. Welcome to Drinking Bros. God damn it. It's nice to have a winner on the podcast, Nick.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And, you know, go Bucks all the way, except for that dismal performance in the national championship game.
We lost to China. We did not lose to Alabama. We lost to China that game. When you have 13 players out with COVID, so I was there, right? I was at the national championship last Monday night in Miami. Trey Sermon broke his collarbone on like the opening play, went to the hospital. We lost Wyatt Davis, our other All-American, who's, you know, number one draft pick. He was out in the second quarter. It got down to a point with, you know, we didn't have kickers. And then because of COVID, I remember turning to some, like there was some other Buckeyes sitting in the box with me. And I was like, hey, man, we're starting to get into numbers that I've never heard of. And there was players that, no lie, I've never heard of at all. And I think some of them were practice squad guys. How does that work? When you're missing that many people, what do they do? Do they just put jerseys on practice squad guys?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have the rosters, 100 guys from freshmen up to seniors. So you probably had kids that were in there that just got done playing their senior year of high school and are now, you know, peeing on the sidelines, scared to death that they're going to have to go in.
I know. There was a – because Master T got hurt too, our backup running back. We were down to the fourth string, which was a guy that I've never heard of. It was number 24. It's my favorite number in the world, and that's the only reason I remembered.
Are you allowed to be named? Are you allowed to be named Master now? Like, you can't even refer to a bedroom and your house as Master.
He's black. Oh, so I see. Okay. Yes, you can. It's fine. But a white guy definitely can't go by Master, obviously.
My name's Master Dan.
No.
Unless you're like a karate instructor or some shit. Like Master Ken. Master Ken's been getting away with it for a long time.
That's true.
Maybe it's his mustache.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's got a pretty sweet mustache.
I can't believe the bedroom thing. Like, how do you get rid of the bedroom?
I don't know.
That caught me off guard. I'm watching HGTV, just, you know, enjoying a nice Saturday, and they refer to it as the primary room.
Crazy, like, right?
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. That's where the master sleeps. Because you can, like, to me, the word master is, you know, and as far as bedrooms go, that should encompass all races. Like, you are the master of your household.
Yeah, and there's going to be at least some kind of version of sub-dom in the bedroom, no matter who's in there together, right? Mm-hmm. There's always a masculine and a feminine. We need to do a documentary on what non-binary people do when they fuck.
And then
I'll sit there and point out how one of them is doing masculine shit and one of them is doing feminine shit.
Right.
And then we'll see how long it takes me to get canceled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be very quickly. Are you a dom or a sub?
Versatile.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll go both.
If the girl wants me to slap her, I'll slap her. If she wants to slap me, I'll allow that to you.
Got it. Nick, we already know you're a dom. I don't even have to ask you that. A big guy like yourself. We know where
are you wearing a Cleveland Indians hat on backwards right now? I can't see the logo, but I'm guessing it's the Indians.
No, it's not the Indians. A guy would be caught dead in the Indians hat. I mean, those people from Cleveland are ridiculous. It's actually a Yankees hat. Got sucked into Yankees fandom when my boy Nick Swisher got picked up. And so he kept giving me tickets to game. So I got sucked in that way.
Dude, I heard Nick Swisher parties. I could see the two of you guys heading out in Manhattan just
Nick Swisher and
the place.
Jeremy Giambi are both like well-known late 90s into early 2000s fucking party animals.
Yeah. Did you get down with those guys? Did you guys go out and just rock it?
Yeah, there was one right after I got drafted. So this was back in 2006. Nick was actually still playing for the Athletics, and he came in to play the Yankees, and he calls me up and says, hey, coming in town, you know, you want to go out? I was like, yeah, sure. Got nothing going on. It's springtime. Yeah. And we went out. I made it to like 3 a.m. Nick stayed. We got to the game. We were a couple innings late, hungover, get to the game, and his boy was there, and he was kind of regaling us with what happened in the rest of the evening. Nick, I think, ended up going home about 5 or 6, and still somehow made the team bus at 9. Ends up going like 3 for 4, saved a home run and an outfield. Like, he just had a dominant performance, and here I could barely get through the game sitting in the stands.
Man, those guys in the Yankees go hard. I was in after I finished Ohio State, I was up at NYU for a bit.
Oh, fucking Dave!
Yes, Boomer,
my God,
Boomer Wells,
dude.
Dude, I ran into Boomer Wells at a club, man.
He is the fucking man. He's one of the best of all time.
Yes,
he really is.
Partiers and pitchers, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you remember Boomer Wells, David Wells, back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm in a club. It's him, Jeter, Boomer. I mean, they're going fucking hard, and it's like 3:30 in the morning, right? And I'm with my buddies, and I knew they had a noon game the next day, like they had a noon start time, and at Yankee Stadium. And I was like, we gotta call a bookie and put all of our money on this. He was pitching. There's no fucking way he's going to make it through this game, dude.
Through a no hitter. Now, one of those games when
his
no hitter,
it wasn't that game, but the game that I was at, because we ended up watching it. I put a fuck ton of money on it. And he ended up going 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, and the Yankees won. I think Jeter went 3 for 4 in that game. Just absolute beast. And I was like, it's a day game, and you're sweating your ass off there at Yankee State, because this is in the summer.
Yeah.
I don't know how those guys did it, but they were absolute legends.
Those guys are just made differently. I mean, Boomer is like the John Daly of baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't give two fucks. I think he's better when he's fucked up. Actually.
I do too. Who was like that on the Jets when you were playing for the Jets all those years?
That's a good question. There's plenty of guys. Big Willie Colon.
Came to
us from Pittsburgh. That man, he had to go out on Friday night, otherwise, like, it was kind of like his fuel. You know, he had to go out Friday night so that way he could rest Saturday night so he could get after it Sunday.
Now, is that anything like Kyrie Irving saying he just needed some time off from the Knicks or from the Nets? Jesus Christ.
No. He was that Big Willie was coming back home because he's a Bronx guy. Mm. And so he came back from Pittsburgh. He was there 8 years, I think. And so his first year where was like a coming home party.
Yeah.
I mean, Willie was, he was king of New York that year.
Well, he played until he got hurt in his last season there. He played every single goddamn game. So I'm guessing it worked out all right, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not taking off fucking six games, seven games because he needs to recharge.
No.
The season just started, Kyrie. Jesus Christ, what are you out there fucking trying to see if the earth is flat, you dumb bitch? Put your fucking jersey on. Get on the court.
Oh,
do they get,
man,
6 games worth of salary back from this piece of shit or what?
I don't know what they're going to do, man. It's strange, man. Since God, you retired, doesn't sports feel like it's a different world now where it's just like these players just aren't the fucking same?
Bunch of bitches.
And you haven't been out of the league that long, but it just seems different, man. All of it, all the way around.
It does. I mean, even across sports, like you look at football and it just seems like it's getting weaker and weaker. You know, but the scores are going up, so everyone's excited about that. But then, like basketball, and you know, taking time and you know, managing your minutes and everything, you know, it just seems like things just aren't going as hard as they used to. You know, when we cut out 2-a-days, that was a big deal, and I was shocked that we did it. You know, to be honest, because it was, you know, that's kind of where you kind of built up your strength for the season, and so now, you know, guys are going. There were a couple of teams that didn't even hit during the preseason this year, which just to me blows my mind.
Yeah, I you know, looking at it now, looking at the landscape now, I love the final four teams that are in it, right? Packers, Brady, obviously with the Bucks, and then you got the Bills. Who, look, Josh Allen is that's a sexy team out there against the Chiefs. I don't know what's going to happen with Mahomes yet.
Well, I don't know about that. It seems like he's going to play, but you're right. We have the probably, as of right now, the four best quarterbacks in the NFL and in the fucking conference championships, I think. I mean, you could talk about Russell Wilson, you could talk about some other guys, but as far as dudes who win games and put up stats, these are probably the best four out there right now. And I think the two at the bottom, even though Mahomes has already won a chip, he's still kind of on the come up. We don't know what this dude is going to be yet.
No.
He hasn't even, like, he just stopped growing this year. He's 25 years old.
I know.
You know what I mean? Allen's young too. So it's like the old guy, or the young guys on the AFC side, the old guys on the NFC side. And now we're going to see what the fuck's about to happen.
I'm amped either way. Like, as a fan, because, you know, Dan and I have a sports show, and we travel around and usually do a live show from somebody's tailgate, like every 2 to 3 weeks. We haven't been able to do that because of COVID this year, obviously. But as a fan of the game, you want to see the four best teams in there, or the four sexiest teams in there. I was amped when the Rams went out. I don't know. Goff seems like a gimp to me. Where it's just, there's nothing fun about that Rams team, really. Their defense is fun, but let's face it, nobody's watching a game for the defense.
I love Aaron Donald, though. I love how emotional, so do I love how emotional and angry he got not being able to play. That's what I look for in an athlete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people like to talk shit about the Jordan crying meme or Forrest Griffin crying after he lost that fucking fight in the ring and shit like that. Man, that's what you want.
Yeah.
You want 100% from these motherfuckers, man. And it takes a lot out of you. And when guys either succeed and break down or fail and break down or aren't able to participate and break down, you know that motherfucker wanted to be on the field.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Man. And for you personally,
it's
like,
not, dude, not about a paycheck.
Did it suck that you were never got to go to a Super Bowl or any of that?
Yeah, completely sucked. I mean, I'm much rather, and I've told this to a bunch of people, but I'd much rather have a Super Bowl ring than any of the individual stuff, because, you know, that's something that, you know, I get super jealous whenever I see guys with their rings on, you know, that have won one, because we got close, but to never even be in the game, to be in the conversation, stings quite a bit.
Yeah, because you were one of the very best players there was. Like, you easily could have been on any one of these championship teams. As far as centers go, like, dude, you were one of my favorites, and we had Ryan Jensen on the show, who's actually still playing for the Buccaneers right now. The two of you guys, it was just like, all right, sweet, man. Like, yes, let's give these motherfuckers a ring and see what happens. The Jets themselves have just not been able to figure it out, man. And I don't know what they're going to do to get better, because Darnold doesn't seem like the answer. I don't know if they go Justin Fields at two. Me personally, having seen that Devonta Smith kid in person for the first time this year, holy shit. I've never seen a better wide receiver in college football because we usually get field passes, all this shit. Obviously, you're on the field.
He's the best I've ever seen.
Ever seen. Yeah. And do you go with him? Like, what do the Jets do to rebuild?
You know, I think it's going to be really tricky because, you know, you have Sam Darnold there who, while you know, it still doesn't seem like a finished product to say that he's definitely done. But you do have Justin Fields sitting there in the draft. The one thing I do like is that the Jets, you know, kept their GM, who they just signed last year, Joe Douglas, and he's been able to watch the behind the scenes because, you know, we all see what happens on Sunday, but we don't know what's going on in the meetings. We don't know what's going on in practice. And so I think he has a much better feel of what Sam is capable of doing rather than a new guy coming in. And so that gives me a little hope so that whatever direction we go is based off of, you know, what he knows and not what he's guessing. But yeah, we've been struggling. I mean, this past year really sucked. It was tough. I've been through losing seasons myself many a time, but to sit there on the fan side and be staring down the barrel of a undefeated season in the wrong way was no fun at all.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because you look at that team. Was it you with Sanchez in the butt fumble?
We were there for the incident. Yep.
The incident. Is that how you guys refer to it? The incident?
That's how I refer to it.
It's great, though. You know,
the Jets have 2-23 and then in the first round, and they've got 34 in the second round. So they basically have three first round draft picks this year. You can take a great offensive lineman, maybe two, and still get a great offensive weapon to add to Darnold. You know what I mean? And he's 23 years old, like he's saying. Maybe he's a guy, maybe he's not. Again, he's another guy that hasn't, his bones have not stopped or growing yet, right? We don't know. And he's been on shit teams.
But Darnold?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, but his head is also still growing. And I wonder if the NFL makes helmets that big, if that head keeps growing. It's very Baron Trumpish. Like it just keeps going, but I don't know if that's the answer because there's two rumors out there that I've heard. The one got killed yesterday, but there was one that had Justin Fields at two and then Chris Olave from Ohio State. But Olave opted in. I don't know why. He was going to go in the top probably 20 of the draft for wide receivers, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. I don't know why he came back senior year. I'm amped about it, but that kind of killed that. And then the other one I've heard is that they might trade for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, if they did, that would be if they could trade their second round pick probably, and maybe one of their first rounds for Deshaun Watson. I'd probably do that.
I think Houston wants both picks though. They want both first rounders.
They're not going to get first rounders. I would not trade both first rounders. If I would try to get them to take something else plus pick 23 and 34, and then take Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle, because he's the best offensive lineman in the fucking draft. That's what I would do personally. But I mean, we'll see what happens. Ultimately, they have to make a decision about how they want to continue long term. If they make that trade, Darnold's got to be involved in it somehow, right? He's got to go. They're not keeping him on with his contract, even though he's still in his rookie contract, I think. But they're not keeping him on with that money behind Deshaun Watson. That would be crazy to do that.
Yeah, you've got to see Deshaun Watson up close and personal. How good is he, and would you make that trade?
Yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic player. I think we all know that. And you watch him fly around the way that he's able to make some plays with his feet, but also sling the ball. Mm. I personally would not make the trade just because I feel like Houston is going to want so much that you're going to set yourself behind. We have so many other pieces that I think bringing Deshaun Watson in, when you have holes on the offensive line, you're just going to get him killed back there anyway.
Right. What if they included J.J. Watt? Because he's on the market as well.
Well, it's not going to protect him on offense.
But. No, it's not going to protect him on offense, but they can get, you know, I mean, that's a lot of fucking firepower to come over from one team to another all of a sudden. And it seems like those two guys have a really good relationship, too.
They do, but I don't see, like, JJ's on the tail end. Mm-hmm. He's had to deal with so many injuries and everything. I don't think any package is worth it to have him come over. Plus, I don't think Houston would ever trade him. I mean, he is the face of the franchise.
Well, do you say that
more so than even Deshaun Washington?
The Texans said yesterday that they're going to give him a trade, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So they're going to let Watt leave. I don't know what they're going to get for him because you're right. What is he, 32?
Yeah, he's got to be 32. Hot Bob double checked it on JJ Watt, but we got a producer off camera named Hot Bob.
I like how we have
sexiest man alive.
He's 31.
31.
31
yeah.
years old.
Yeah. But he'll be 32 in March. I was closer than I was. Anyways. This is the second very likely Hall of Fame offensive lineman we've had on the show in 2 weeks.
I think so. Do you think you're going to Hall of Fame?
I have no idea. And that's kind of the joy of where I'm at, is that there's nothing I can do now to control that. So I don't have to worry about it. You know, it would be cool. It'd be an amazing honor. But as of right now, you know, there's nothing I can do anymore. I've hung them up, so I got to just hope for the best.
Yeah, well, there's no question that you were one of the top three offensive linemen overall, not just centers, in the game throughout your career. That's, I mean, most people agree on that. Yeah. But it is notoriously difficult for some reason for centers to get into the Hall of Fame. I don't know why.
It's not a sexy position.
It's not a sexy position, but it's one of the most respected, highest paid, most difficult. And if you have longevity at that position, you're widely considered by your teammates and analysts in the NFL to be an all-time great. Just by being there and showing up every day and playing 16 games a season. So why the fuck are more of these dudes not in the Hall of Fame? It's one of the most important. It's like catchers, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're a catcher. That is a difficult job. You go out and hit 280, which doesn't seem sexy, but you hit 280 and play 130 to 140 games a year. That is a big fucking deal.
It is. I'd like to see McAfee in, too, for punting.
Oh, yeah. You know? I want to see him in for his fucking, just for his quads.
The quads, dude.
I want him in just for his speech.
Yeah.
When you give him the
opportunity. Can you imagine? Oh, my God.
I don't know if you guys saw the draft. That was the last one in Nashville.
Yeah, where he was at the combine and all that shit, and then he went to the draft after. Yeah.
When he did the introduction for their pick, I mean, that was amazing. And it flew off the cuff, because I was sitting with him in the green room beforehand. And, you know, I was sitting there just scared shitless that I was going to get some goofy name that I wouldn't be able to pronounce. And he's over there just kind of shooting the shit. Hanging out, and he was like, yeah, I got to do something. I'll do something big. I don't know what it's going to be yet. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching it. I was like, that was something big. That
yeah,
was well it was done.
Huge. Well, I can relate to that. We do the same thing, but it's a function of talking in front of an audience for 3 hours every single day of your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just becomes something that you do, but he is better than most at it, frankly.
Pat and I are in a war of words on Twitter right now. I've challenged him to a punt pass kick competition for 10K for charity, and he has declined. He has said no, and which hurts my soul, right? Because it's for the kids, it's for the children of the world.
So you heard it here first. Pat McAfee hates children, folks.
Hates children. Widely known. But
everybody's saying it.
He sent me back this video on Twitter that said, "I literally think I still own the record for punt pass kick," when he was like 14 years old.
I think he's right.
He sent me the video from the field when he accepted his trophy. It was pretty funny. We're huge fans of him, but I would like to test my mettle, because I was a hell of a punter in high school.
Yeah, but the accuracy portion of that, he would fucking destroy you on.
Correct, but that's the beauty of a punt pass kick, Nick, is that there is no accuracy. It's just length. Brother, it's just like same as the bedroom. It's just length, you know.
His legs are the size
even
of your
on the
head.
Kick.
Yes,
I thought the punt pass kick there was part of it where you have to place in like on the left and right side of hash marks inside the 20 or something.
No,
like that.
So here's the deal: the kick is actually not. It's a kickoff off of a tee, so you're not kicking a field goal. Because if it was field goals,
well, yeah, but what
I'd get crushed.
If you kick it out of bounds,
correct. But let's face it. I'm a professional.
No, he's literally a professional.
Yeah, but I probably could have been one, maybe like the AFL or something like that, the Arena League or something
Arena
like
League,
that.
Yeah.
If I would have tried my best
on the 60-yard field or whatever.
Yeah. but I think I could. So I think he would have me. Look, a punt's a punt. We don't know. We don't know how long that's going to go.
How many chances
a
you get?
Throws a throw. I think it's just one apiece.
No
man.
Way.
Yeah.
You'd have to get like at least two and the best one, like best lie or something like that.
I was watching online the other night, and I think it's just one a piece.
Also, is it in the air or is it like total distance?
In the air, yeah, because if it was total distance, then you could have
yeah, he would kick, like, what's that dude that kicks sideways, kicks the ball
yeah,
sideways?
Yeah, you could have those Australian punts, and we don't need any of that nonsense. Like, it's in the air all the way.
That would make it mostly luck anyways, because even if you Australian kick, if you're off by, like, a couple of centimeters in the ball one way or the other, it fucking spins out of bounds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you'd
yeah.
be fucked then. Yeah. Anyways, you would definitely lose.
No, I don't think I would. And again, it's for the kids. Pat won't do it.
For the shorties? Yeah. Start saying it's for the shorties. let's make a music video and say it's for the shorties, and then the music video is called Pat McAfee Hates Children.
We did a thing on Ross Patterson Revolution earlier this morning about Bono and the singing that song for the African children. Do they know it's Christmas after all? Which is super degrading, as if children in Africa wouldn't know it's Christmas.
Well, I mean, the Dutch settlements probably do. Maybe some of the English settlements, but the other ones probably don't celebrate Christmas because it's Africa.
Maybe. You don't know. And I don't want to rule that out. Anywho's.
Do you think they know?
I would make it like that video for yeah. Pat McAfee.
Let's make a song called "Do You Think Afghani Children Know It's Christmas?"
Yeah, when you were over there, did they know it was Christmas?
No.
Oh, they didn't.
They don't do that.
Dan was overseas and has killed hundreds of people, by the way, Nick. So if you're going to get an answer about Christmas out of Afghanistan, that's the guy who's going to give it to you.
I've never been to Afghanistan.
Really?
No.
Were you just in Iraq?
Yeah. Well, not just in Iraq, but I was in Iraq, yeah.
Okay.
They don't do Christmas over there.
They don't do Christmas in Iraq either?
No.
Shit.
No, it's unfortunate.
That really
is. I mean,
is.
We did. We would go out on patrol wearing Santa hats, and they were like, who are these fucking psychos?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's better than the Mohawks we had before that.
I remember Jake Gyllenhaal wearing the Santa hat and Jarhead.
Yeah, he was pounding off with it, right?
Yeah. Great scene. Great scene. I still use it. Just when I'm, you know, feeling flirty when my wife isn't around.
Yeah.
Are you a big barbecue guy?
Because we're in Austin. We got to know.
Good. I'm good size, you know, 6'4", probably, you know, somewhere around. So I'm pretty big.
Whoa. Slow it down. You skipped on the weight.
What are you down to? You look a lot slimmer.
Yeah. I mean, you got
No, not really. I think it's just the camera. It's got a nice filter on it. you know, so I'm still up. I'm trying to get down, trying to lose weight. I don't weigh in all that often, but I'm definitely down from when I was playing.
It looks like you're in Michael Scott's office right now, which I really like, by
you,
the way.
You got to write that for your next interview, write that quote, you miss every shot you don't take, Wayne Gretzky, and then Michael Scott under Michael that. Scott. And then put your name under
And then put Lee Harvey Oswald, obviously. Like, well, yeah, you miss 100% of shots you don't take.
So Austin's a big barbecue town. Aaron Franklin's here. Terry Blacks is here. Valentina's is here. There's a shitload. And every time somebody comes here, like our a guy we know, Giannis Pop, is the comedian, was here last week, and we went out to Terry Black's with him.
Yep.
And Xander was like, he said, Pop has talked about it on Rogan's show, but it wasn't any of us. It wasn't me or Georgia or anybody else talking about it, how it was the fourth best.
Yeah.
It was Xander. He was like, this is only the fourth best. And Giannis is like, if there's three better than this, I don't want to try them. Like, this is bullshit. But Terry Black's brisket is awesome. There's a lot of good stuff around here. What kind of barbecue shit do you get into?
I got into it deep. We had an assistant offensive line coach come to us, and he is a certified barbecue judge.
I'm sorry. So how do you get certified in that?
How do you get certified?
God. I actually started looking into it, and you have to go take a class. And they have – it's like it travels around the country. And so I found one in Virginia. That I was going to go to this past spring. Thanks a lot, Rona.
Yeah, China.
And you go there for like 8 hours, and like four of it's in the classroom, and then four of it is, you know, actually judging food, and they teach you kind of what you're supposed to be looking for and everything. So it's a pretty cool process. But he came to us, and he held my hand, got me sucked into it. I'm a big green egg guy. And so I know that's not the true pure barbecue world, but for me it works. Mm-hmm. And I do it all and I love it. I've gone in hook, line and sinker. It's so much fun because it's such a process to cook. But that just gives you more time to hang out. And everyone loves barbecue. I don't think there's anyone been like, no, I'm good. I don't want any barbecue. And so it brings people together. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we have a show on our network called Tailgate Legends. It's hosted by Eric Tanzi, former cop out of Raleigh. And barbecue is something that everyone takes very, very seriously. So all these shows we've gone to all over the country. I mean, we've been to, I feel like, every stadium in America at this point. There's only a couple we haven't been to. Everybody always says they have the best barbecue. Who is your very best that absolutely tore your face off and you were like, dude, I will never top that.
That's a good question. You know, it was probably actually the offensive line coach, Ron Heller. He brought in a brisket that he did, and it was, I don't know what he did to it. He just, pretty sure he sprinkled a little bit of crack cocaine on it.
Mm, yeah.
But that, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was just, it was, that's what made me really fall. I was like, you made this, like you sat down and you started and you cooked this. And he's like, yeah, of course. And I was like, all right, you need to teach me how to do
it. Well, there's so many good tools to use now. I mean, Big Green Egg is one of them. That's a good one.
Traeger. My wife's a Traeger. We're doing for the Super Bowl, we're doing a live show here at the studio. The pregame show is a cook-off, and there's a trophy winner. That one's for best dips, obviously, because it's the Super Bowl. But we have a trophy being made as we speak. Mm. My wife is a gigantic Traeger.
Yeah, Traeger's great. I've used a Big Green Egg before. It's good. There's a Birch Barrel that's kind of like a Big Green Egg that's really good. There's a lot of tools out there where you can use different kinds of like pre-seasoned woods, right? Like the pellets from Traeger and various other ones. And you brine the meat a little bit and you throw it in this thing and fucking forget it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get an incredible product every single time. It's amazing these days.
Have you ever entered a competition?
I have not done barbecue competition. I've done cooking competitions for different shows, but I've never done an actual barbecue one.
What's your best dish? Yeah, did you win?
No, let's see here. One of them I lost to my chili, speaking of dips, lost to a stupid buffalo chicken dip that everybody makes.
Everybody makes the same one.
Nope. It's the same thing. It had four ingredients. It was
like green chilies and Velveeta cheese and fucking it's and that
and shredded chicken.
Shredded chicken and that buffalo sauce. It's the same one every time.
But then I won another one with chicken wings, which was a lot of fun. I've won a handful of cooking competitions.
Wings are hard to make on your own, dude. I that's something I don't trust myself with or like I'd say 99% of Gen Pop to make a wing. I like them crispy. I don't like the movie aroundy skin.
No,
it's
gross.
And I'll certainly sit down at a fucking Hooters and eat those breaded wings all day.
I like the breaded ones too, but I like naked crispy, right? With a good.
Now, these ones, I made them into chicken lollipops. So you take the flat beforehand, you cut the bone, and you take one of the little bones out, and then you push all the meat down to one end.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you get the bare bone stick,
mm-hmm.
and then you fry it up from there. Oh, they were in fuego.
My God, man. I don't believe I've ever heard of that technique. What's that called?
Yeah, lollipop chicken wings. If you can ever find them, they are amazing.
Dear God. We might, dude, that might have to be a thing next year.
Looking into it,
There's Super Bowl. There's an Austin place that does that. It's real good.
Oh, there's an Austin
place?
Tommy
Want Wingy, I believe.
Oh, Tommy Want Wingy. Dude, I tried to go to Tommy Want Wingy two Sundays ago for the game. I was going to take my kid.
Do any of their proceeds go to the Chris Farley Foundation? The Chris Farley Foundation, by the way, pays for cocaine for people.
It does. It does. So any children out there who need cocaine will go there. I couldn't get into Tommy Want Wingy. It was packed. I mean, just absolutely fucking
packed. I'm guessing they don't take reservations or anything.
No, a wing joint taking res? That'd be great if they did.
COVID, a lot of people started taking reservations that don't just so people don't fucking show up and overpack the place or whatever.
Yeah, or you can't see them because they're behind screen, but I got a shitty rec from Dairy Dan here behind the screen. He said go to Pluckers, and dude, that was not
Pluckers
not
is like right. Pluckers is like wish.com B-dubs, man. Why would you go there?
Yes, I was referred there. We just moved the whole company here.
I said Austin doesn't have a good wing spot. Which is true. And I said Pluckers is probably...
Well, dude, Tommy Want Wingies. We'll see. If we're in the New York area, what's the best wing joint there? Like, what do you got there?
Ooh. You just keep going north and go up to Buffalo and get some good stuff.
And that's a far drive, though. I've made that drive to Buffalo just for the wings. It is worth it. You are correct. Like, the wings really are... legit.
They're really good, yeah.
Yes.
The only time I go up there is if I'm also going to Toronto, though, to be honest. Going up to like Quebec or something like that, because it is
there's nothing kind of
out in the middle of nowhere.
There's a bunch of fireworks up by Buffalo
and broken tables littered across the landscape.
Yeah, man,
they have whole fields of broken tables.
And living in New York City, because again, you were playing for the Jets, like dude, I've lived in New York several times. I never found a good barbecue joint or a wing place in the city whatsoever.
In New York,
at all?
Yeah, there's no good bar. There really is no good barbecue. And wings are just kind of a dime a dozen. You know, you're middle of the road, nothing spectacular.
You know where we ended up all the time was at the Hooters across from Madison Square Garden. all the fucking time. I dead serious, because there was no wing joints there, and it was just like, all right, cool, man.
I used to do the same in L.A. Anytime I went to Lakers games down there or anything like that, I would go right across the street to that Hooters across from Staples.
Because there's
a bunch of bullshit around there, but the restaurants aren't that great, to be honest. In that area of town, they're not that great.
Have you gotten down to Texas for the Texas barbecue?
Fletcher's, by the way, in Brooklyn is really good.
No, I haven't. I had a big lofty goals this year, being able to get around and try out a bunch of different places. And then I didn't leave my house for like 6 months.
China. You didn't leave. Yeah,
that's where we're at. So I still want to. We'd get every once in a while somebody would be able to go out and go to away games. And you know, they'd bring something back. But I never really went and had the full experience where, you know, you stand in line, you wait, you know, you get your plate and then you enjoy it there, which is kind of disappointing for me.
We got fortunate here, because when we moved the entire company here to Austin, we had a big election party and we invited the listeners into the studio and all that stuff. They brought us in Franklin's. So the hype was real. We had the brisket from Franklin's, and that really was the best brisket I've ever had. So I, for sure, brisket wise, I can definitely say Franklin. I'm still open up to everyone else as far as ribs. I was watching that Netflix doc on barbecue. Have you seen it yet? It just came out?
No, I haven't.
Oh, dude, it's like a 12-parter, and they go around to the best barbecue places in the country, and it's called it's a series for them, like Best Chef or Next Chef, or somebody will correct me, I guarantee it, on YouTube. But either way, the entire season is all the best barbecue places, and so there was a place called Snow's on there that was an 87-year-old woman who makes the barbecue here in Texas. It's about 90 minutes away, and we were all dying to go. Obviously, COVID has shut down that restaurant right now, but watch that doc series. Dude, I can promise you it'll make you want to get in an RV and then travel around to all of these places. I mean, they had the best shots on there of all time. We were just like, holy shit. They did it right on that Netflix doc for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, that's something I've always wanted to do, because like I'd love to get down in the Carolinas, see what they're doing down there, you know, head to Tennessee, Texas, Memphis. I mean, get all the places in.
KC, Memphis, North and South Carolina, so Texas.
You and I, because we came from North Carolina. So here's what I'll say about North Carolina. It's a lot of vinegar-based shit. Mm. So if you're into that, that's cool. That's not really my jam. So even though we lived there for a while, I was like, eh.
Why, we grew up there too. I mean, I grew up in South Carolina. He grew up in Georgia. And that's primarily what you get down there is Carolina style barbecue, right?
Yeah.
It's tangy. There's a lot of vinegar and mustard and shit like that. It's not like, I mean, KC, you're going to get, I guess Memphis too, you're going to get sweet sauces. Texas isn't really about the sauce that much. They're about the meat. That's why I like Texas barbecue the most, because they don't really church it up too much. They're like, it's, you can tell because their best product is brisket. You don't have to do anything to brisket. You season a little bit and you fucking smoke that bitch.
But it's hard to cook.
It is. Well, it just tastes forever, and you got to pay a lot of attention to that motherfucker, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then Kansas City, we went to that Chiefs game. We were at the AFC Championship 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We went to all the top barbecue places to declare a winner that weekend. And I think we landed on Joe's. Joe's was our favorite there. Did you ever eat the barbecue in Kansas City?
No. And stunk the most was like anytime you play in Kansas City, usually it was an afternoon game, you know, the 4 o'clock or evening.
Yep.
And so those guys in the stadium parking lot there have had all that time, you know, and you get all those smells. So as you're driving in on the bus and you just smell all the different tailgates and all the different barbecues that they have going.
Yeah. They don't fuck around at Arrowhead, man. They're out there at 5 o'clock in the goddamn morning. It's 12 degrees outside and people are like listening to fucking 90s rock, drinking fucking shitty beer and barbecuing.
A lot of sticks.
Yeah. It's ridiculous out there. I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
Great time. Great atmosphere. But I understand what you're saying. Driving through that scent hits you right in the face, I bet, on that bus.
Yeah. And then knowing that you can't stop. Like, that's the worst part, is that, you know, if you were just driving through and you're going to the game, you get hit with something, you see a big tailgate, you're like, yeah, you know what, we'll check that out. But knowing that you can't go there is really just the deal breaker.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, as long as you're not a Raiders fan, you could probably get away with stopping by. If you're a Raiders fan, they might murder you. But if you're a normal other team, like if you're in the Jets, they don't care about the Jets.
Nah, they don't care about the Jets. You'll be fine there. Yeah. An upstanding citizen.
And they're pretty nice, too. And Kansas City, the fans are relatively nice unless you're a Raiders fan.
Very friendly.
Yeah, very friendly.
Very friendly
and,
people.
But
there.
Raiders fans are not nice to anybody.
No.
Oakland fans in general, I know they're in Vegas now, but back in the day when I lived in Oakland, I went to, so it was, I think it was 2014 or 15, mm-hmm. game five of the divisional series, and it was Justin Verlander pitching against the Athletics. And I'm like, it's probably sold out. Let me check. There's like a ticket, like two rows back in right field for like $60. For like $60. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, yeah. You guys suck. but anyways, I bought tickets, sat there. A lot of Detroit fans were there that day. And the Oakland fans would like surround them in a circle and just yell at them.
Yeah.
Like the circle would travel as that person moved. You know what I mean? They would travel. Like, what is happening here?
Nick, you know the podcast world. We've got some sponsors who pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 40% off. Now, D'Anthony, bundle package with the adjustable base, 40% off. Is there a world in which they just start giving away all of the products for free at this point?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's still GhostBed is giving away. Any Drinking Bros listener is getting 30% off anything on their site.
Everything still, on their site. Right. And then if you go and type in the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout, you get 40% off the bundle package.
It's the adjustable base and the mattress. And I think they have a couple of different plans in that. But yeah, that's basically what it is. And it's 40% off. Plus, you can apply their 36-month pay-as-you-go.
Yeah,
plan. So you're getting 40% off of it, and you don't have to pay the full thing. You're paying a bit of
fucking insanity.
Yeah, it's like 36 months of no interest on it. It's the best. It is impossible to get a better deal on a bed than this,
especially a nice bed. Yeah. And there's supposed to be one in the studio this weekend for the Super Bowl show, and then the AFC Championship, the UFC McGregor fight. I think it's going to be in there, and we might have this propped up right in front of the desk for the watch along. By the way, if you're not subscribed to Drinking Bros Sports podcast on iTunes and Spotify and all this shit, do so, obviously. And then the YouTube channel as well, which we'll be live on with the ghost bed itself. And we're going to see how many people we can actually fit in there. Next up, we've got First Leaf Wine, dude. Come on.
They're the best in the biz, too. I mean, If you're somebody that's either really into wine or somebody that wants to be, this is the only wine club that you should ever even look at, to be honest, because they're going to walk you through the process the same way that our other sponsors like Hawthorne and Box of Awesome walk you through. Like, get some notes. Here's what you like. Here's the taste you like. Here's the food you like. And here are the wines that go with that, right?
Six bottles
for $30.
$29.95 plus free shipping. I don't know how you beat it.
No.
I've been a member for a while now. I doubled down over the holidays.
Yep.
One of the best in the business, man, if not the best. I'd never had a fucking wine of the month club before. And now I can never go back because I don't want to go to the grocery store.
Well, I lived in Oakland, and Napa and Sonoma are both, you know, what, hour and 20 from there.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of weekends there, probably one a month for 6 or 7 years, unless I was traveling or something. And it was, I've been part of quite a few wine clubs. I've never been part of one like this. I've never been part of one that, there's a small Sonoma wine club or Sonoma wine shop, little tiny ass place. They curate wines and they send them out, but it's not meant to be digital like this. It's meant to go pick up in person and all that stuff.
This is worldwide, dude. I got shit from New Zealand in my last
book. Yeah. So that's what they do, man. They have, First Leaf has all these wines. They help you figure out which ones you like, and then, you know, you'll get ones you like, and then you can test ones that you don't know for sure and try them out as well. Mm-hmm. If you're the kind of person that likes drinking wine, if you're the kind of person that likes to give gifts, this is the best thing you can ever get.
I agree. What are you waiting for? Get that Friday feeling like I do every single day at First Leaf. Join today and you'll get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros. That's 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping at firstleaf.com/drinkingbros.
And commit to it for a little while too. Don't just take it. I mean, I know that $29.99 or whatever for 6 bottles is a really good upfront deal, but stick with it for a while. Use their rating system. Like, you rate each wine you get, and then they tailor your next shipment to that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, this is, I'm probably their favorite sponsor or host of, to talk about this because I'm so into it.
Yeah, but you've been a wine guy for a long time.
For 15 years now. Yeah, so this is the best one I've ever seen.
Evan Hanford is to coffee what Dan Holloway is to wine on this show.
Yeah.
And then if you end up gassing through all six of those bottles on the first night, which there's been a couple listeners who have, you got to get some liquid IV then for the next morning, obviously. That is the only thing that'll cure your fucking hangover. Go to liquidiv.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 25% off. I know you see this in Costco and Sam's Club and all that other bullshit, Targets, but you can't check out at the register and then say promo code Drinking Bros, give me 25% off. They don't do that.
I feel like you should start doing that in public though.
Just start raising at the people of like, hey man, I'm hungover. Yeah. Just give me the liquid IV and I want 25% off.
Yeah, if you're at a gym or something and there's a lot of gyms that have Killcliff. I think all the Lifetime gyms nationwide have Killcliff. Yeah. So you're at a Lifetime gym and you're like, hey, that Killcliff, I actually get 20 or 30% off that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Start screaming promo codes at them. You cannot do that with liquid IV. Therefore, get it online so you get the 25% off the promo code Drinking Bros. Grab your energy liquid IV in bulk. You can do it you can do it at Costco, or you can get the 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com, promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. And that's 25% off of everything you order when you use the promo code Drinking Bros at liquidiv.com. Start fueling your adventures today at liquidiv.com, promo code Drinking Bros. And again, dude, it's shit. 12 ounces, 16 ounces of water, pour the little package in, boom, you're rehydrated immediately and you're up and on your way. I'm always drinking this shit in the morning on RPR. Like, I gigantic fan of it. I had to call these motherfuckers though and be like, hey, dude, I drink this every day. Can we come on the show?
Yeah.
And they did. So super stoked about that. And Nick, I appreciate your patience with us in our little show here. They're terrible humans up there in the Bay Area. I have no problem saying that because their city's gone to shit and you can literally shit in the streets now. So fuck them. My experience was that actually the new Giants stadium, right when it opened, Braves were in the playoffs and, I was sitting in center field and you're like, oh, San Francisco, peace, love. People were throwing shit at me the whole time and I was wearing a Braves uniform and I was like, luckily Braves stomped him. It was like 13-4 that game and it was rad. But, those fuckers, both sides, man, because I've been in some athletics games as well.
Yeah.
these true assholes up there. What's the worst fan base, for you when you were playing?
That's Oakland was obviously terrible.
Probably Philly. Philly's got to be one of them too.
Philly, but they hate the Giants so much.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Kind of a Boston was always terrible. hated going up there to the mass holes.
I mean, your biggest rival is pretty much the Giants. You guys play in the same stadium, so I guess it's probably a mix of fans every time you play them, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's always weird having a city that shares two teams because we play each other every 4 years, yet it's always a rivalry on each game, each like off season for the draft. It's like, well, how did the Jets do? I don't know how the Giants do. And it's just kind of, it's a crazy experience, having two teams in one city.
Yeah. Did you ever party with that fireman?
Fireman Ed?
Yeah.
No, never got to. Although he's still around, so probably still have a chance.
What's his sitch? Anybody go out in the town with him and rip it up?
I've never been. I don't know.
Nobody on the team was like, dude, Ed lives that life?
No. I mean, you usually try to keep yourself back from the super fans. that's just a good, safe measure to take. Because you never know when you're going to get kidnapped and kept in someone's basement.
So yeah.
RIP Steve McNair.
RIP Robert De Niro.
Yes, yes.
But he's still alive.
He's still alive, obviously.
Not his career so much, but he.
But personally he's still married alive. Some super fans.
Yeah.
And that happens.
No. I was talking about that movie he made, The Fan, with.
Nice. With, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Big callback there.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you still watch every game? Like, do you still watch the NFL? We've had a lot of players on the show who say, hey, man, once I stop playing, I just stop. I don't watch anymore.
No, I still watch. I don't watch as religiously as I used to. Mm-hmm. But I watch because I'm a fan. Always have been a fan of football. Was a fan while I was playing. And now more so, having kind of seen how the sausage is made, I'm still a fan to watch specific things. And it's neat. I got kids growing up now. and their fans. So being able to foster that is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I mean, speaking of which, look, we got the two biggest games, obviously, of the year, which is just a bold prediction by me. Just really, really laying it out there. I'm kidding. It's to go to the Super Bowl, for Christ's sakes. We have a sponsor, MyBookie.com, that we bet with. Promo code Drinking Bros will half your deposits. So you put in a grand, you get 500 back. You wake up with 1,500 in the account the next day. I have been absolutely crushing them. I won
6 for 6.
Yeah, this week. 9 for 9 because I bet a bunch of parlays and all that stuff. I've been on fire in the NFL this year. I think I've only had 3 down weeks. I want to get your thoughts on Buccaneers Packers. This is -3. It has gone up to -4 on my bookie. Who do you have in this game, Buccaneers versus Packers?
Well, I'm going to warn you. My gambling has been terrible, so anything I say, probably just do the opposite.
So you're like Big Cat from Barstool?
Yeah, Big Cat from Barstool.
Like Big Cat knows so much about sports, and he's obviously not a dumb guy, but he sucks
worst
at betting,
gambler.
Dude.
He's the worst gambler there is.
He may just have the worst luck of all time. I don't know.
Yeah.
So what's your deal?
I don't know. I definitely am really bad. So Tampa Bay, and it's funny because like I started doing, I'd be picking games on Sunday, and then I would have my wife, you know, pick games, and you know she's picking because she likes the jersey or she likes the team or she hates the other team, and we pretty much have similar records, and I'm actually looking at it and being like, all right, well they're gonna spread and everything. And she's just picking off a team's colors. So, yes, I do suck. Packers, Tampa Bay, right now it just seems like Tampa Bay is rolling. Tom has really hit his stride and seems like they're built for the playoffs. And it's going to be watching Aaron Rodgers go against Tom Brady for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. It's going to be amazing. I think Tampa Bay's defense might be a little bit better. So we'll see how that plays out. But what's the line now?
It's -4. It's up to -4 on my bookie.
Yep.
I bet this one earlier, and I'll tell you mine after this pick. Who do you got in this? Bucks versus Green Bay. Who's going to the Super Bowl?
And see, I think I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Wow, and you get the points on that. So. I like that. What about you, D'Anthony? Who you got?
Man, that's a good question, to be honest, because I'm looking at the same shit he is, and it is that Tampa Bay defense, man. I mean, it's pretty good, but is there a defense out there that's good enough to shut down Aaron Rodgers is the question when he has his best receiver available now, finally. Like, there's no injury issues with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Jones looked great last week.
Yes.
Right? So you've got multiple threats. I think it's all up to Aaron Rodgers. Does he use Aaron Jones appropriately?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or does he pull a Westbrook and go hero ball and try to throw himself out of a bad situation? If he does that, the pass rush from Tampa Bay is going to get to him eventually, and he's going to get on his ass. He's probably going to throw a pick, or at least he's not going to be as effective as he would. So I think it's all up to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think anybody else can dictate how this game goes.
Who are you taking in this one?
I'm taking the Buccaneers, actually.
You're taking the Buccaneers?
I think they're going to win, yeah.
All right.
I think Brady's got that team clicking on all cylinders right now. I think he is the best quarterback that's ever touched a football in his life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Mahomes is even going to be able to catch him. And I don't just mean about his physical talent, because I don't know if he's even in the same conversation physical talent-wise as Mahomes. But look at his fucking stats.
Look, 14 conference championships is amazing.
I mean, and he might end up with 7 rings if he wins this year, right? So look at those numbers versus anything Mahomes could ever do, considering what is a clear disparity in physical talent, right? Mm-hmm. And like what other than that fucking 16-win Randy Moss team or whatever the fuck, what team did the Patriots ever have that was as talented as the Chiefs are right now, offensively at least? They never even came close to that,
right?
With all those weapons, with Kelsey and fucking Hill and all these guys. I think it's, to me, there's no question. I don't want to turn this into a Jordan LeBron thing
already.
Before the motherfuckers even retire, but I don't think Mahomes can ever count. Anyways, I think Brady has got these guys clicking.
Great.
I think they're going to win.
And Nick, you said you were no good at gambling, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very good at it. And I am all in on Green Bay in this game. This is, to me, the easiest pick of the weekend out of the two games. I watched this Buccaneers game to me, it's a team almost without an identity, where if you don't have those four picks from Breece in New Orleans, I don't think they win that game, to be honest with you. And Brady looked, I want to say he only threw for like 200 yards in that game. I don't have the stats in front of me, Hot Bob, but pull them up. And then Ronald Jones has kind of been mixed in with Leonard Fournette. They're not really sure who the real starters are. Mike Evans, to me, is one of the best receivers, but he wasn't used that much this year. Gronkowski hasn't been used that much this year. I still don't think they have it dialed in. I could see them coming back next year with Brady having a full year with this team and going really far. But I think this is Aaron Rodgers' year. I think he wins the MVP. I think Aaron Rodgers goes to the Super Bowl. And it just feels like his year. It's going to be 27 degrees there with a chance of snow. Brady's obviously used to that weather, but the rest of that team isn't, man. For that reason, and they got fans in the stands, and the Packers, and they were actually loud as shit. I know it was limited capacity last week, but it was loud as shit. I've got Green Bay, and this is an easy one for me. I took this, I bought a point on my bookie, took it down to 3, and then I also took them in a 6-point teaser with the next game, and then gave Green Bay plus 2 points on this. But man, I'm amped to watch this, and we'll be going live all day from the studio here with both of these games, with everybody all in on this. We'll go around the horn here to our producers, which we typically do here. Who do you got, Derry Dan, in this game, Buccaneers-Packers?
Cheeseheads. Yeah, Packers minus 4. The line tells you everything you need to know about the game. So,
because it keeps going up. Yep. It started off as 3, so everybody clearly in Vegas is betting the Packers because it's gone up a point this week. So everybody loves the Packers. I think the Packers even cover at minus 4. I think they win by a touchdown. What about you, Hot Bob?
Yeah, I'm all in on the Packers. Like, I watched that Bucs Saints game, and at no point, like, the Bucs won, but at no point was I like, whoa.
Yeah, I didn't think they looked dominant either.
At what point ever in the playoffs have you been like, whoa, when the Patriots were winning their Super Bowls, just out of curiosity? Other than, they didn't win the Super Bowl that year.
It's true.
Other than 07?
Yes, I have not been, yes. 07 was the only year. Yeah. I've never been impressed by the
Patriots. They also don't have Belichick down there now, so maybe that changes this year. But honestly, what is the coaching staff on offense doing right now? And what's Tom Brady doing? Is it a LeBron, Tyronn Lue situation? Do they have any input at all, or is he just running the fucking show right now?
I'm not sure, but when I saw Tom Brady after that game drop a dime to Breeze's kid after he beat him, it was kind of like, hey, man, not only do I own you, but your children are going to look up to me as the greatest quarterback of all time and not you. I'm with you. Brady's fucking rad. I just don't think – it reminds me of when Joe Montana went to the Chiefs and they went to the division or the championship game.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's going to get there. But I think next year, with his team dialed in, once they figure out all the shit,
we'll see.
I think it'll be good. And Godwin keeps dropping passes, man. I'm going heavy on the Packers. I put a lot of money
on this. You know, you're probably right, to be honest. I mean, you can tell when A-Rod's going to fucking play the way we need him to play. And that's when he's like loose and relaxed and shit. He's not all tense. And he's been hanging out with Pat McAfee every Tuesday for the last 6 months or whatever the fuck. So he's probably in the zone right now. But I mean, again, Brady's got the team clicking. They're doing what they need to win.
Patrick's not driving him to the stadium anymore. Like, that will ease your nerves real quick. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know, she wrecks pretty much every time.
He doesn't have to deal with her crystals.
Yeah, she's got a big crystal collection.
Oh, she one of those?
Danica Patrick.
God damn it, dude. Yeah. Like, at what point... Like, is it?
We should ask Nick. Is your wife into crystals? Because if they are, we'll stop this conversation.
No, she's not. She hasn't found that yet.
Thank Christ, because we were about to go on a 15-minute rant about crystals and the original Superman and Lex Luthor. So okay, good.
Where are you from? You're from Ohio originally. Are you back there now? Or you still live in New York? Where are you at?
No, we live in Jersey now.
In Jersey,
We got stuck here.
Well, you know.
It's Jersey. You know,
you do get stuck there. I mean, so the crystal thing, at what point does that happen?
I don't know.
Is it like wealth? Because I don't know. I don't think it's wealth.
Wealth and boredom is what it is, man. I had a house out in Jersey, in Long Beach Island. Love it there. I'm a fan of New Jersey. I don't know where you're at. Are you on the beaches or are you inland?
No, we're inland. Out by the horse farms.
Oh, gotcha. So you probably got a shit ton of acres and all that stuff. It is beautiful out there. Nobody really knows about that area. Of Jersey. Mm-hmm. You always think about Patterson or Trenton for some reason, but there is beautiful parts of Jersey. But there was I had an aunt who was super into crystals, and she would bring those out to the beach house and all that shit. And it's money and like boredom, man. It's just too much. It's too much. And for that reason, again.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yes, dude. It's a no for me, dog. He's out of that stitch. Therefore, Aaron Rodgers is going back to the Super Bowl.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, if he plays Aaron Rodgers' game, there's not a great chance for Tampa Bay, frankly. But I don't know that he will. I mean, we've seen this a lot before, right?
Yeah.
Where
Aaron Jones, 1,100 yards this year.
He had 95 last game, I think, which is a good number. If he's got over, I think 15 touches and...
It was a tough Rams defense,
yeah,
too. Like.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think if he's got over 15 touches and 80 yards in a game, they win every game, basically.
Yeah.
I think so. I think so. There's some stat like that. So it's a good bet to make. I just think plus four... I mean, I can take that in a teaser up to 10 pretty easily, and I don't think it's going to be 10.
Yeah, because a lot of people are doing that, because that's what I'm doing in the next game. Bills against the Chiefs. Who do you got here, Nick?
So this is a tough one with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, if he plays, it's going to be a shootout. If he doesn't play, I don't have any faith in Chad Haney whatsoever.
Because he went to Michigan, Nick. He went to Michigan.
Exactly. So,
by the way, before we move on to that, since we're on Michigan, how happy were you to see Harbaugh re-signed with Michigan?
Oh, it was awesome. I have no idea what they're doing up there. They've given up on football.
It was the opposite of Cleveland when LeBron James did the fucking decision show on ESPN. Instead of burning jerseys, they were all like buying khaki pants. Like, yeah.
It was the
keep them up there, guys.
It was the greatest day for me ever when Harbaugh signed that extension.
What's that Sun Tzu quote? If your enemy's making a mistake, let him.
You let him. Just let Michigan be Michigan at this point. I'm so
what
fucking
fuck
amped
is
about
wrong
that.
With those motherfuckers, man.
Bills at Chiefs. Who you got?
So, like I said, I'm holding out until I find out with Mahomes. But right now, I think Bills, last I saw, was plus 2.5.
It's 3 now.
I think that all day.
Plus 3 right now. Three? Yep.
Yeah, it's 3. I'm with you. So, if Mahomes plays, and you would know more about this injury than the rest of us would. When I watched it, I didn't see a concussion. It looked like some form of nerve in a neck that was pinched or whatever. But when he got up off the field... He looked like he was in another fucking planet. I mean, it looked like some of Biden's speeches early on in the primaries. What was it? Do you think he's got a concussion or has he got some type of nerve issue?
I think both. You know, the way that he went down, it kind of looked like he was out there for a second. And, you know, the nerve, you're pinching something back there, like it can give you the tingles. It could be fine, you know, in a day. But I've had them where they'll linger for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. You just can't get the muscles to stop spasming around the nerves. Mm. So it's going to be a real tough. I mean, if there's any chance that he can play, I'm sure that he will. But I don't know. I mean, if it is concussion, I mean, if it's the NFL, so they're going to make him play, even if he is concussed. Mm. They'll just be like, oh, no, he passed the protocols. He's good to go. So I still, unless it's a real nerve thing where he can't throw or he can't move the way that he can, he'll probably be out there.
So knowing that, right, if they're going to push him out there because the NFL wants the ratings and all that shit, and let's face it, he's the face of the NFL right now. How long can you stay in a game and how long do those symptoms last when you're playing with a concussion? I'm sure you've had them.
Yeah. I mean, it's not so much, you know, if you get out of the fog and you're good to go. You know, it's just more for, you know, the another hit. If he takes another hit while still kind of feeling the effects of a concussion, that's when it can become dangerous, not only for the team, but for himself personally. So, you know, that's why the big push to make sure that you're cleared and that you're symptom free and that you're good to go, because it's the multiple concussions on top of other concussions that really seem to be doing a lot of damage.
And with $505 million on the line, because that's what his contract is with the Chiefs, is there any part of the Chiefs that say, shit, maybe we sit him because he's going to be here forever? Or do they just say, all right, we're going for Super Bowl number 2 and he'll have a week off between games?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to the diagnosis. If they do away with the concussion diagnosis and he feels fine, then I'm sure that they're going to push him out there, because knowing that he's there forever, you know, if he can play to half of his ability, he's still a fantastic quarterback. So, especially with all those weapons around. So it's going to be real interesting to see these injury reports, because I think the first one, comes out, what is today? Today's Tuesday. First one comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
And so we'll see what he's listed as. as we get closer going into the weekend.
Yeah, I would. There's no way I would make this bet yet. There's no point in making a bet on this until you, at least until tomorrow when you see the first injury report.
I beg to differ, and here's why, right? With the 6-point teaser option, which we've done a lot of this year, you have to pair it up with another game. I've paired it up with this game, this Packers game, obviously, as a precaution in case he doesn't play, because I still like this number. Mm-hmm. I took the Bills in this game plus 9, and I've teased this up to 9. That way, if he sits, I'm with you, Nick. There's no fucking way Chad Henne's going to beat the Bills in this, right? And the Bills go to the Super Bowl. But even if he plays, right, Mahomes, I don't think that they cover 9 on the Bills.
Probably not. We'll see. I mean, the Bills have there's some issues here. One is, where the fuck is Hilaire? Where is he?
Yeah, that's never been explained. Williams played most of the game running back. Like, what happened to that guy?
Yeah, and Le'Veon Bell does not fit in that system at all. They are a brute force, push off the line kind of team. He is a develop the play, kind of wait in the backfield and let things happen and then cut kind of guy. And it just, you can see it every time he plays for them. Every now and again, he'll rip off a big play, but for the most part, he gets jammed up waiting, right? I don't see that. So then you're left with Damian Williams. And
he's good, man.
Now he is very good, but and that's the real, in my opinion, at least statistically from this past year, the Bills are weakest on run defense. Their pass rush is crazy, and if it's Chad Henne and Damian Williams, they're not going to win. I don't think.
No,
I don't think there's any chance they win that game.
No, and I would me personally, like, to see the Bills fan base go to the Super Bowl would be the greatest thing for football of all time.
We would get to see more of Angry Cop's giant mustache.
Oh, dude, there wouldn't be a table to eat off of in Tampa Bay during that Super Bowl. Like, they would all be smashed, and I'm here for it. I was just in Florida for that national championship game. It's open, man. So shit's open for business. You can still rage in Florida right now. I guarantee you those Bills fans will be down there raging for that Super Bowl. And I kind of want to see that happen. Like, I love seeing Mahomes play, and, you know, it's a blast. But if he's not healthy enough, let's throw the Bills in there and make it sexy, man. My only worry about the Bills, because I think there is a chance that they win even with Mahomes, is Josh Allen is still a tad young. If it comes down to a close game, I don't trust him to not throw a pick or do something crazy. Because I watched that Texans playoff game last year. There was some of the craziest fucking plays I've ever seen in that game. And I was like, man, what is he thinking right there? So I don't know if he has the maturity yet, but that guy is certainly going to be a superstar in the future. So right now, I'm going to tease this up. I'm going to take the Bills plus 9, couple that with Green Bay, and take that it's Green Bay plus 2. And I already max bet this. I post the bets, my betting slips, in Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. Private group join. I max bet on my bookie for $2,000 on that one, and that was my big bet for the weekend. And then I also threw $2,000 on the Packers. I'll wait to see the health of Pat Mahomes to decide what I'm going to do on game day here for this Chiefs-Bills game.
Yeah, same.
Straight up, as far as the straight up bet goes.
I'll probably take that same thing. I'm probably going to take I'll probably take a teaser on the Packers and bundle it with that.
Okay.
Just because I think Tampa Bay's got a decent chance to win that game, but I mean,
both of these are great games, so yeah, we're not seeing anybody shitty, and I'm amped about that.
But if I take Tampa Bay at fucking plus 10, I'm pretty sure that's a safe bet.
Yes, I one would agree. What about you, Nick? Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? Win it all?
It's a good question. If Green Bay wins, then I say Green Bay wins the Super Bowl. You know, if Aaron gets past Tom Brady, there's no stopping him. If they don't win, if you get Tom in there, I think it would be a toss up between, I mean, I think Tom would then beat, the Bills, but I think Patrick would beat Tom. So it's all up in the air. I'll have a better idea hopefully Sunday.
Yeah, man. It's interesting. I picked Chiefs preseason, right? And I picked them last season as well. Won the audience a ton of money. It was 8-1 going into this season, and I felt good about the Chiefs. But then it feels like a magical year for Aaron Rodgers, where I don't see him leaving the NFL with just one ring. He feels like a 2-ring guy, man. And it kind of feels like the year of Aaron Rodgers. But I'll make that choice obviously after Sunday's games, but. just right now, the way it feels like it's Aaron Rodgers' year. And I think he gets a second one for Green Bay. But we'll see this weekend. That's the beauty of this shit, D'Anthony. Because if Mahomes plays and he's healthy, shit, I don't know how you stop that team.
No. If he's healthy, I know. But like what he said, if you've a lot of our fans are military people, they know what concussions are for sure.
Mm-hmm.
When you get multiple concussions, particularly in rapid succession, like within 2 weeks of one another, that's when you start to develop chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, right? That's when your brain, like parts of your brain start to die, literally. That's not good. So I hope Mahomes makes a good decision this week. I don't give a fuck about this game.
How many concussions have you had?
Six.
Oof.
But that's not that many. This guy right here, I mean, we remember talking to John Welborn back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah.
From the Eagles.
Yeah.
He was like, man, I saw stars probably 30-40% of the plays. Yeah. You know what I mean? So technically, that is a micro concussion. I mean, that's a lot of fucking damage to your brain over time.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's ways to treat that shit now that we didn't know before. And also, we didn't know that it was even causing damage before. But still, for a player like a quarterback, man, you get those aren't micro concussions. Those are those are big hits that usually take you out of games. And two and back to back weeks will fuck your brain up permanently in a lot of cases. So I hope he makes a good whatever. We don't know what the case is. Whatever it is, I hope he makes a good decision.
Same. It's going to be fun on Sunday. I want to talk about you went back to Ohio State and actually got your degree in 2019. How important was that to you?
It was real important, you know, to be able to get it. And it was kind of one of those things where I didn't get it for a long while out of spite. I had a professor fail me my senior year, spring quarter. So I was like, well, I'm not graduating then. I'll ruin those rates. And then after a while, I was like, all right, it's time to do it. And then we started having kids and I was like, well, I'm not wasting my off season where I get to spend time with my kids, you know, with my nose in a physics book. And so it just kind of drug on for a while. And then finally it got long enough where I think my wife really yelled at me and said, hey, you probably need to take care of that. And so knocked it out. And now I have a diploma and she can't make fun of it. Me anymore for being the only college graduate in the house, as we are now both college graduates.
There Where did go. She go to school?
Ohio University.
Oh, she went to OU. Man, we used to go up there for Halloween. Dude,
Halloween was the best. Four times in a row.
God damn right. I went every year too, man. But she went to OU and you have a degree from Ohio State. I mean, that's you trump her definitely in every possible way academically for those two schools.
By the way, what was the professor's name?
Jonas? Yeah, because that happened to me at Ohio State. I'm curious as to why he would fail like one of our best players.
I think he just didn't like me. It was I don't remember the guy's name. It was I started out in architecture my freshman year, and then realized that architecture and football do not mix. So I had to switch to business, and I got to the end of my senior year. There was spring quarter. And I had four core business classes that I had to get a 3.0 or better in, to be able to graduate from business school. And then I had this one physics class, which was the second in a series, that I had to take the elevated series because I was at the time in architecture. I took it my freshman year and then I finished it my senior year. And so I go there the first time, get the syllabus, find out, you know, what we're getting midterm final. I didn't think twice about it. I was like, all right, you know, all I got to do is pass, you know, D's get degrees.
Yes.
All I need.
So that's exactly what I said. Yeah.
And so, I go to the midterm, you know, I think I ended somewhere in the 70s and was like, you know, that's great. I decide, as we're coming up to the final to go to the last class before the final, maybe see if there were study tips or anything, you know, to look out for. I get there. The guy goes, all right, take out your pen and paper, you know, for our quiz. And I looked at the kid next to me and I was like, what is this? And he goes, yeah, we've been doing this every class. And I was like, well, that wasn't on the syllabus. He goes, yeah, I don't know. It's just pop quizzes. And I was like, all right. So I go to the professor. I'm like, yeah, so I guess there were some quizzes. He goes, yeah, and you haven't been here taking them. You can ace the final and you're still going to fail. And I was like, all right, great. Thanks. Is there anything like, can I do? Can I write a paper? Can I make them up? Can I do extra credit? Like, is there anything? Because there's nothing you can do.
No way. Mine was, I confronted my professor, dude. Like it got pretty heated because it was chemistry for me. And he graded on a bell curve. I was the only white kid in there. It was all Asians, right? And there were, it was one of the ones for me, it was an elective for me. So I, it wasn't part of my degree. I was in journalism and communication. And I was like, dude, I can't pass this. Like, I can't, I'll never be as smart as any Asian on this planet. And I'm fine with that. However, I just need a D minus to get out of this fucking thing. And he was just like, well, you know, you can study hard and blah, blah, blah for the final. And I go, look, my parents are paying out of state fees for this. I feel like you really fucking owe it to me. And I go, just do what's in your heart. Just do what's in your heart on the finals. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. But just know that it's a good chunk of money that's coming out of my parents' income here. And I was grateful that my parents sent me there, you know, to college. The guy ended up giving me a D minus. I'm not going to say his name on air, but that allowed me to graduate in 4 years. Otherwise, it would have cost me another, you know, quarter there at that time. And boy, I might have thrown him out the fucking window.
Look, I wasn't playing sports, but mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of drugs in college.
Yes, you were.
And
Dan went to Penn State, by the way.
Yeah, I did. I never got the lowest grade I ever got was an A minus.
Yeah.
The Fighting Sanduskies.
Yeah, I call them the. Actually, my fantasy football team last year, I think, was the Flying Sanduskies.
It was, yeah. Yeah, very, very close.
Yeah, it's more like a circus thing than a, you know, than
yeah.
They're not fighting anybody.
Obviously. Last question for you here. You went to the same. You were in the same hometown as Mike Nugent, the Motor City Madman, mm-hmm. the kicker, and then AJ Hawk as well, who is also on McAfee all the time. Were you guys on the same team though?
We were on the same peewees. So Mike is a year older than AJ and I, but AJ and I played third grade and sixth grade together. And then
did you guys just dominate?
Yeah, we had a pretty good peewee team, which was a lot of fun. But then I went to the Catholic high school and he went to the public high school.
Went our ways. Religion creating division again.
Yeah,
between AJ Hawk. Jesus Christ!
We came back together.
We did.
Yeah, we did. We roomed together for 4 years, which was a wild time, especially seeing AJ now. Like you mentioned with the Pat show, I think we may have said 10 words to each other our freshman year, even though we've known each other since third grade. AJ just did not talk. He was not a talker. And so now to see him doing media stuff is funny to me.
Yeah, dude, he's on McAfee's show all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, holy shit. Because you never heard that guy in interviews when he was playing. No, not at all. And he got, dude, if memory serves me correct, wasn't his degree in something crazy like criminal pathology or something like that? Like,
I think it was just criminology.
Oh, criminology, okay. Up.
Yeah. And so Age is definitely an interesting character. He's a blast. And I was excited because he ended up going to the, he got inducted in Ohio State's Hall of Fame. So I got to go back. That was the first time I've been back to Ohio State. This was last year, in probably 8 years or so. So that was pretty cool.
No shit. Why not earlier? Just out of curiosity. Were you bitter about the degree?
No. The seasons coincided. So it made it tough getting back. And then once I was done playing, you know, my kids are still pretty young. So it was just kind of a hassle to try to get the whole family back there. And then me leaving for a weekend, probably would not go over so well with my wife.
Yeah. One would imagine, cause they still rage up there. It's a blast. I've got to imagine your jersey will be up in the Hall of Fame there at Ohio State.
Oh, it already is,
no,
right?
Not, especially not in college.
You don't think so, huh?
Really?
They don't induct linemen.
You were a first round pick for Christ's sakes.
Well, yeah, but I had nothing. Like, my college career was pretty mediocre, I would say.
Really? Come on. You were what, 29, I think? You were drafted 29th?
Yeah, 29th overall. I think I fooled people at the Combine and the Senior Bowl. But I think college-wise, you know, other than I started a bunch, it wasn't huge. Now, AJ, he had every accolade you could ever imagine.
But, yeah.
College, no. Kind of swinging a miss on that one.
Believe in yourself. I'll pay somebody off. It's fine.
Well, that would be fine. I could live with myself there.
Yeah, I'll Aunt Becky you into that thing. You know, I'll pay somebody off.
We'll get you on the rowing team. Last thing before we go, I know you hate Cleveland apparently, but we're trying to get Cleveland renamed to Flavortown.
No, Columbus.
Columbus. Columbus. Ohio. Yeah, Columbus. How do you feel about that?
Do you stand with us on that? Because Columbus is racist now, so they're thinking about changing the name of the city.
Yeah.
And Flavortown is currently number one.
Yeah.
Would you be down for that?
Has anyone spoken to Guy Fieri?
Yes.
I doubt he would be against anything like that.
No, right? He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but would he get, like, does he get his own billboard then? Like,
oh, no, if it happens, we're going to get a fifth. We're going to spend.
Statue.
We're getting a bronze statue made, like a life-size bronze statue of Guy Fieri made. Awesome.
And we got a quote. We got a quote. It's only $15K for one of a full life bronze statue.
Yeah,
we got a guy.
Really? Yeah,
it's we got bad. A guy. Yeah,
a full size bronze statue.
Yeah, it's just like the bronze part is only on the outside. It's just melted steel, like a hollow melted steel shell. It's covered in bronze. It's not that much money.
We had a bet one time for the Army Navy game. If one of our listeners streaked the field during Army Navy, we would get a bronze statue made called the Brosman of the Year. For the show, and it happened. Trump was at the game, and Jimmy Long, shout out to Jimmy Long, dude, still one of the best to ever do it. He made it the full 110 yards across, I mean, end zone to end zone. He hopped out of the end zone, went all the way around. Bleacher Report did a huge article on him, and we had a guy who made a bronze statue out of that. And then obviously our next question was life size, because one of us won a life size statue. And so he said 15K. So he would do it for the show for 15K. So with Flavortown, with Fieri, we might even get a discount on Fieri, you know?
Yeah, that would be, I mean, if we have to get rid of Columbus, which seems dumb, but I think Flavortown would obviously be your next best bet.
Well, yes. Look, I mean, look,
yes.
Regardless of what Columbus did, convincing people to give him money to go sail into what he thought was India and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the genocide and everything, even with all those good things, Guy Fieri is still better.
Yes, yes.
What did Columbus do? He discovered land that already existed. You don't discover shit that people already live in.
Yeah.
That's just like if I discovered your house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I walk in and let myself in and put all my shit down. Like, hey, I discovered this new house, guys. And Guy Fieri is making people happy.
Yes, dude. Fieri found me a catfish restaurant in Little Rock, Arkansas. Yeah. Like, you know, Columbus never did any shit like that. Now's the point of the show. Yeah. We get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
Is it particularly just for drinking?
No.
There's a couple of... Oh, well, I was going to go that route.
Oh, but, go ahead. Go ahead. Go that route. Who is it for drinking?
This is a tough call because I feel like I got started in high school early. Because where we were in high school was... we were just south of University of Dayton. So we would just go to UD to go drinking, which was obviously a smart decision.
Yeah.
I got to give it to Andy Swanson was the guy's name. He was a linebacker for us in high school. He kind of got me started in the drinking world. So I got to give him credit. So I think he deserves that. And then if we're going to go, you know, the actual person.
Sure.
Let's see here. You know, I think the drinking bro, since it's been categorized as bro, because otherwise I would say my wife.
It could be anybody. Because we have a spinoff show, an all female spinoff show called Drinking Broettes. So she can be your broette of the week, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. We'll take her. We'll take the broette because she made football possible. We've been married my whole career, and without what she did, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did on the field. That allows me to do stupid shit like this and sell goofy barbecue sauce as much as I can.
Oh, you got something there. What is that?
Yeah. Are you in stores everywhere? Pop it up there. The OG barbecue
sauce. We're
working
on it. So we're online right now. We're in the northeast tri-state area of New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey. Fingers crossed we're going to be on Amazon at some point. So we're trying to expand slowly and surely. But it's been a lot of fun. It's a neat, learning about the sauce game.
Right.
Yeah.
Wild time.
Did you make it yourself or did you hire a team? Cause we're working on some stuff here. Oh, you made it yourself?
This is all mine. This is my recipe. I've had it for 4 or 5 years now. And then, my partner, this was back in, almost 2 years ago, was like, hey, you know, what are you doing with yourself? What do you know, what do you want to do? I was like, well, I was an entertainer, you know, for 11 years. And the only thing I've ever created are my four kids. I'd like to create something. And he's like, all right, what do you want to create? And I was like, I don't know. And he goes, well, do you have something already created? I was like, well, I got a barbecue sauce. He goes, all right, let's go with that. And so we started from the ground up. It's just me and him. You know, I'm the distributor. I'm slinging sauce. We actually launched March 22nd, officially, which was right at the beginning of a pandemic.
Yeah.
So that was good timing on our part.
Yep.
But it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. And so it's been pretty neat to be able to share something that I've made, that hopefully other people enjoy as well.
Right. I mean, the biggest part of this for us, and this is probably one of the reasons our guy reached out to book you, aside from the fact that you're probably going to be a Hall of Famer and that you're an Ohio State guy,
yeah,
is that a portion of your proceeds, go to Answer the Call, which is a for New York Fire and Police. It's a widows and children's fund benefit fund, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Folded Flag Foundation that we worked with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep.
They do the same thing. They put people through school for children and spouses of KIA service members. They do the same thing with Answer the Call for our police and fire that have died in line of duty in New York.
That's amazing. Yeah. Where can everybody buy it? Is it in stores then?
So it's in a couple of stores in Jersey, ShopRite's, a couple of Ace Hardware's on Long Island. We're hoping to get into Stu Leonard's, another grocery chain. And then you can always buy it online, 74bbq.com, 74 spelled out, 74bbq.com. You can buy it online, get it shipped out to you. We have two flavors. We have the OG and the spicy OG. Like you said, you know, portion of the proceeds goes to Answer the Call because they do amazing work. I've been with them for 7 or 8 years now, you know, just trying to lend my ugly mug. And it's also fun for me because not only is it, you know, barbecue is passion, but I have 4 kids and I'm trying to have a sauce for each of my children. And so right now I got the two out are for my boys. And I'm still plugging along to get 2 out for my girls. So it's pretty neat that they each have their own little sauce.
Which one's the spicy one out of these kids?
Yeah,
that would be. So I go boy, girl, boy, girl. And so it's my second son. He's the third. He is a carbon copy of my firstborn son, except he's a goddamn firecracker. And so that's why he got the spicy.
I can see it in the picture on the website. Everybody's kind of calm and looking at the camera, and he's like, he's got his mouth open like your ass, stretching out a rubber band like he's getting ready to fuck somebody up. So obviously he's the one, right?
That's the spicy.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
I've got two. We're debating about having more. Would you recommend 4?
So here's how I looked at it. I always wanted 2. My wife wanted 4. We have 4. So you know, when you have 1 kid, you're playing double coverage. When you have 2 kids, you're playing man. Once you have 3 kids, you're now playing zone.
Yep.
And then once you go zone, it's kind of a free for all at that point. And so to me, the hardest transition actually for me was going from 3 to 4. You know, I don't know why. I think it was probably because I was done, playing. And so I had to do a little bit more work. But you know, I think once you're at 2, I mean, 2 is such a good solid number. 3, like once you get to 3, you kind of always have to have another one because then you need to even things back out. So be very careful going down that road.
All right. Yeah, we've made a decision. It's one of those pandemic decisions where you're like, hey, man, if we're all going to be trapped in our houses wearing masks and all that shit, I kind of just want more buddies at my house, you know, like living there. And it was one of those things me and my wife talked about that we're like, do we do it or not? And everybody said the same thing. Once you go that many kids, it's tough.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, look, at least at some point, how old is your oldest one? What is he like, 8 or 9, something like that?
He'll be 10 here soon.
He'll be 10? So he'll be taking care of the other ones here pretty soon. You know what I mean?
That's the key.
Yeah, you got to space him out about 2 years, 3 years, something like that. That way, you know, the oldest one starts watching them, and then he's teaching the other ones how to get away with shit. That way, at least you don't find out the fucked up shit they're doing. Right. If I were to have children, I want kids that are getting away with the shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to catch kids doing stuff.
I don't want to know about it.
Have fun,
either.
Man.
Yeah.
As long as you're not getting AIDS or pregnant, you know what I mean? Or arrested, I guess, or injured physically, then do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, because my next door.
Keeps getting
long. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
You don't want them to get hurt or anything, but shit, man.
Yeah, you don't want like a Freddie Mercury sitch. My next door neighbor's got 4 boys, and 2 of them are in college, 2 of them are in high school. And I was like, they have a guest house, like this pimp ass guest house behind their thing. And I saw the kid walking out there with his girlfriend, and I asked him, you know, I asked the dad, I was like, you know, they're probably fucking on the weekends. And he goes, I know, man, there's nothing I can do about it. And there's nothing you'll be able to do about it either. And I was like, how do you cope with that? And he goes, you never do, man. You never get used to that. And I was like, God damn it. Do I really want any more, like, any more of my children going out to the guest house to watch a movie?
Yeah, the real fucking problem for you is if you were to have a daughter.
Yes, that would be hard. Was that tough for you?
Because it's all coming back.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting repaid. Karma's coming for you if you have a daughter.
Was it tough for you with daughters?
No, it wasn't. I always wanted a son. I grew up with three sisters. So having another girl never really fazed me. It was more making sure that I had a son, because I never had a brother. Having my boy first and then having a girl, which was exciting, and then knowing that we were going to have another one. So hoping then for a boy so he'd have a brother. That was more of it. The whole looking down into the future world. The only thing I did on that was we held our daughter back. She's a August birthday. We held her back from going to kindergarten for another year. It was like, my daughter's not going to college at 17. She's at least got to be 16. Or 18.
18, like, yeah.
I can't have her going off to college at 17. So that's the first time I've ever really thought about the down the line ramifications of having a daughter.
Well, hopefully she'll be like the barbecue sauce will blow up, and then she'll be like a barbecue heiress, like a barbecue sauce heiress.
Yeah, she'll be the Ivanka. She'll be the Ivanka Trump of barbecue.
Yeah, dude, and she'll be like, oh, don't you know my dad is? He's the barbecue sauce guy. I'm a barbecue sauce heiress. Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what Teresa Hines was, right?
Yes.
And she married John Kerry.
Yeah.
Not that that's something to brag about.
No.
Fucking hell, I married Lurch.
Yeah. You got to wake up. I'm
married a dude with a fucking horse face that threw his medals into the river.
Yeah.
Get fucked, loser. God damn it. I wish, man, never mind.
Yeah, no, I know. We could get super political, but the inauguration's tomorrow. It was MLK Day yesterday.
Yeah, so let's
let it lie.
Let's go ahead and say, all right, talk about some of the stuff we're going to be doing for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we're going to go live at 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 here.
Yes.
And we're going to cover the entire inauguration. Then Dakota and I will be live right around 12:30 for American Party. We'll address some of that bullshit there. And then Saturday, live show for Conor McGregor. What time does the fight start?
Yeah. That fight's the main card starts at 10 p.m. I believe, right?
Yes, well, 9 p.m.
Yeah. So we're gonna have Matthew Best is gonna come down for that. Some other people. I think we're gonna have a little get together here in the studio. So if you're in the Austin area, hit us up wherever you hit us up, and we'll figure that out. And then Sunday we're gonna cover the games.
Yeah, we'll be watching the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship live with you. If I can get some barbecue sauce in before those games, we'll have it on the on the show, and then be able to tell the audience how great it is if Nick really has a shot at having some barbecue heiresses in his family. Say the name of the website one more time.
It's 74bbq.com, 74 spelled out, bbq.com.
Great. Go there now. See if he's one of the best. I'm imagining it is, just because he went to The Ohio State University, and none of us do anything but the best shit there. So, you know,
I mean,
my money's on you.
Maurice Clarett was really good at spending time in prison, so... Yeah.
Did you play with Claret?
Yeah, we came in together.
Oh boy, that's that one hurts.
That was a good year.
I was at the O2 Championship.
You guys blew Miami up that year.
Yeah, we did. It was a great.
I mean, nobody saw that shit coming. Nobody.
I did. I bet on it. They gave me 13-1, and
yeah, exactly.
I went yard.
That's
on
plus 1300 you got on that bitch.
Oh, it was one of the greatest days of my life.
Yeah, fuck that.
I saw grown men crying like for the first time. Multiple. You know, usually you'll see somebody at a funeral and catch an old man, like, you know, with a PMT, a powerful motherfucking tear, just one tear rolling down. I saw multiple grown men crying at that national championship in 02.
When was the last time before that they had won?
1970.
Yeah, 30-some years.
Yeah.
It was a while because we didn't endure John Cooper. So,
it was 1970.
Yeah. John Cooper was our... Jim fucking
and to beat that Miami team too that nobody thought would be they'd won what 39 straight games or
that
is wild.
It was a 13.5 spread too.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, that John Cooper was our Jim Harbaugh. I'm just glad that Jim Harbaugh is now at Michigan and that's it. So I'm amped about it.
Yeah, we should do a GoFundMe and raise the money to pay for his salary into perpetuity. Like here's like $100 million.
That'd be great.
Just let Jim Harbaugh be your coach forever.
Forever. Just forever.
We'll pay for his tidy whities and his khakis.
All of it.
I mean, they're not that expensive.
They're not.
To be honest,
no.
20 grand, you could buy enough.
I hope he stays there the rest of my life.
He probably will.
It's been great.
I told you. I called this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Harbaugh is going to continue to win like 8 or 9 games in a regular season, lose to Ohio State, not make the playoffs, and because he had a modicum of success, they're going to keep hiring him because there's nobody better.
I love it.
It's the bad. They're stuck in this little fucking weird cycle. And it's never going to end.
I hope it doesn't. God damn it. I hope it's like Lost, where it's just they're in purgatory. Yeah.
He's the football coach version of leaving your dishes in the dishwasher and pulling them out when you need them. Good luck, Michigan.
Yeah. Nick Mangold, thanks for being here, brother. We appreciate it. Check out his barbecue sauce. And we'll be live with you all tomorrow morning for whatever happens there at the Capitol. For D'Anthony Holloway, Nick Mangold, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good afternoon and buenas noches, everyone.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.